Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And I hope if you get a chance, you'll call in. Our telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we certainly have a lot of current events to discuss in light of God's Word here right now. And we'll be touching on some of those things here this evening. But again, welcome to the program. And we're going to go ahead and get started here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to encourage people in their walk with you and help us to point people that are searching to Christ that they might find him as their Lord and Savior as well. Bless now. Use us for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight, and I hope you're doing well, and I hope you're staying safe, staying healthy, and all of those things. We definitely live, as they say, in interesting times, talking with a variety of people here over the past week or two, and just talking about the way things are going, and how people have never seen events unfolding like they've been unfolding lately. You know, we've seen different things. I remember 9/11, you know, and how we said the world changed on that morning. And just the way people stood in disbelief staring at their television sets as they were watching things unfold. And just the different things that took place then. And, you know, many of you who are older remember when World War II ended. And they remember the events and the things that took place there. And it's just so many things that are world-shaking things. I was alive, but I don't remember it. I was too young when President Kennedy was assassinated. And just different things that people remember, you know, when Neil Armstrong stepped foot out on the moon, first man to set foot on the moon, just different things like that. And, you know, things that change your life, change the world, and things of that nature. Well, the Chinese coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, has certainly been a world-changing event. We went from record high stock markets, the Dow flirting with 30,000, bouncing around up around 30,000 record highs, down now to where it's, I don't know what it closed the end of the week at, I don't recall, but it was down, I believe, well below 20,000 now, and it's just like, can't help but wonder what would have happened if the Dow had not been up in record highs and then began its precipitous drop. We'd have been down, we could have had a Dow in single digits perhaps. I don't know how low it can actually go, but regardless of that, we have seen markets around the world shaken and people's investments hurt, people's retirement funds. You know, a lot of times people don't realize how much the stock market impacts people, working people whose retirement funds through their union, or perhaps they've got a money market or something like that, a mutual fund or whatever, and it affects it. It all is interrelated, and so we just see people who are concerned, and then, of course, with the shutdown nationally and in states where people are out of work, and how many people have the financial resources to be able to withstand 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks without income? And it is definitely a trying time, not just in America, but around the world. I mean, it's hard to believe when you look at some of the numbers that are coming out of different parts of the world today with the number of people who are dying in Italy, the number of people who are dying in Spain, the number of people dying in various parts of the world from the Chinese coronavirus. I believe right now, worldwide, the latest, and I follow this one thing, I've looked at it several times, and I've been following worldometers.info, and they seem to be pretty accurate, pretty up-to-date. I've compared it with a number of other things, and they're all fairly similar. This one seems to update faster. But worldwide right now, we're up to 33,976 official deaths from this virus. And the reason I say official deaths is because the reports coming out of China are indicating more and more that the numbers in China are seriously, seriously underreported, that in actuality, there's probably 10 times or more the number of deaths in China. I believe right now China's reporting that they've had merely 3,304 deaths. You say merely. Well, Italy is reporting that they've had 10,779 deaths, and we've had 2,484 in the United States of America. And the information coming out, as I said, from China indicates that in the Hubei or Hubei province, where Wuhan is located, where they say officially there's been around 3,000 or so deaths, residents there, and this is hard to gather or hard to get accurate figures because the communist Chinese government is not wanting to report much, and also Western journalists have been booted out. But residents in around Wuhan there in this province estimate that the total there is probably much, much more likely 42 to 47,000 deaths, not the mere 3,000. So we're talking more than 10 times what is being reported officially. And that number right there is probably even less than the actual total. They estimate that the 7 funeral homes in the Wuhan area are giving out 3,500 urns each day. Now, what does that mean? Oh, that means that these 3,500 urns, these are for people that have been cremated, the ashes, the remains. Now, not all of them would have been the Chinese coronavirus, because obviously there's other things that are affecting people, the flu, pneumonia, emphysema, cancer, whatever, and a lot of older people in the Wuhan area. But this is why they believe that, looking at the estimated capacity for each of these 7 funeral homes and doing cremations, that's why they believe that the real figure might be up closer to 42, 47,000. And so slowly some more of these are coming out. And I guess we could say, even if we figured conservatively, 40,000 actually in the Wuhan area alone, that's still quite a lot. And it's obviously there are people dying by the multiple hundreds there, if not by the thousands, because of the number of people who are being, the work that the crematoriums are doing there, trying to eliminate these bodies. And this doesn't even account some of the other information that's come out of China, where in some cases they actually had apartment buildings, buildings where they had people who were diagnosed or found to have the disease, and the people inside of the building were just basically locked in the building, and they literally welded the doors shut, and they prevented people from leaving. Now you say, well, what happened to the people inside? Well, apparently the government really did not care. And when you look at a government such as the communist Chinese government that does not care about the well-being of their own people, why would you trust anything that they say or do in regards to the well-being of the people in other parts of the world? Any government that would weld people in and shut them into their own buildings so that they die of either disease or starvation, how can you trust a government like that? And this is the type of government that we're dealing with in China. They've gone from a more of an authoritative government style to becoming an absolutely a totalitarian regime. And they are trying to use this and parlay this into a way to basically push their influence. One of the things that they've been doing is threatening places, other countries, with withholding medicines from them. And this is one of the reasons our president is calling for American companies to start producing pharmaceuticals more and more here in America. And so we need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our elected officials on the federal level, as well as our governors and our state officials, that God would give them wisdom to know what to do. And we're going to get to our callers here in a moment, but along the lines of wisdom, isn't it interesting? You know, the Bible talks about God giving us things for our health, and even in the book of Genesis, when God created the trees and the things that are there, and he said in Genesis chapter 1, where he said in verse 29, and God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And we saw this, how he gave us these things, and elsewhere in the scripture talks about some of the healing properties of some different plants and things. And we're seeing these tremendously promising benefits of essentially a derivative. I don't know the name of the tree offhand, but it grows in South and Central America, parts of West Africa. It's what they get quinine from. And hydroxychloroquine. I get it right here. Hydroxychloroquine. And it is the medicine that's used and has been used to treat malaria. And it's also used for a variety of autoimmune disorders, and like lupus and things like that. And there's promising studies, and maybe you've heard some of the reports in the media of people being treated with this Zithromax, I believe it is. And these people are reporting that they're going from being at death's doorway due to the Chinese coronavirus to being out of the hospital and almost like they didn't have it. Recovering within 12 to 24 hours. It's amazing. Listen to the story, guy in Florida. He was on death's door. He was saying goodbye to his family members, and he heard about this, and he asked his doctor, and the doctor initially was a little skeptical, and he said, listen, I don't think I'm going to make it to morning. Can I at least try it? They tried it. Within 12 hours, he was on the mend, and he was less than 24 hours, I believe, he was home. And so they're trying it in New York City. I believe even Israel has shipped over some doses of it, and they're trying it. I think there's a trial of about 300 people going on. And so there's other studies. Initially, there's some studies in France that were reported and peer-reviewed and everything with very promising results. And yet there's people out there trying to say, oh, we shouldn't use it. The governor of Nevada, the governor of Michigan said that they decided that even though they're not medical doctors, they're going to practice medicine without a license. And they have said it in their states that doctors cannot prescribe this for people suffering from the Chinese coronavirus. And it's just, why would they not allow that to take place. You know, this is a great opportunity to study the effectiveness of it. And part of it, they say, well, you had that couple in Arizona that drank fish tank cleaner. Well, it had the hydroxychloroquine phosphate, I believe it was. Well, you throw that phosphate on there, it becomes a poison. And they should have known better than to take that. I believe the husband died, and the woman, last I heard, was in critical condition. And on the basis of somebody doing that, you're going to ban something that's potentially life-saving for thousands of people. I don't know what goes through the mind of some of these people. But anyway, I get down off my soapbox there from that. I just I want to get to our callers here this evening. And also a reminder that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And let me encourage you to go there. Had a couple of programs here on our Friday show. If you listen to our Friday show, we're on every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. I had a program, I believe it was 2 weeks ago Friday. That was with James Simpson. And we talked about some of the things going on with this pandemic and its Chinese connection. That was on March the 20th. And then this past Friday, on March the 27th, I had a combined program with Pastor John Lutz. He has a program at 1 o'clock called For the Cause of Christ. And so we combined our programs, his 1 o'clock program For the Cause of Christ and our to our 1:30 program, Live with Pastor Al. We combined the two programs. We had an hour. We were also joined with James Mulledy, and we were talking about the Christian response and response of churches during this time. And I hope you'll go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and listen to some of those programs. I think we had some really good information. They were good programs, and I encourage you to check that out. And, of course, hopefully we'll be able to talk about some of these things tonight and other things. We don't have to confine ourselves to this. I mean, obviously, this is one of those big stories that captures a lot of attention. But we're going to talk about some other things here this evening as well. And certainly you can follow us, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. Hope you'll watch us there as well. And with that, we're going to get to our callers, and we've got Nancy waiting patiently for me. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Very, very interesting discussion about the different medicines, some of them showing promise, but they seem to be, in some cases, blocking us from using them. Now, I would like to discuss the coronavirus also. Mm-hmm. And last week I was talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know,
right,
praying
right.
And humble yourself, seek my face, and he will heal thy land. Now, I'm going to go in a different direction this evening because I think that the media is just instilling too much fear into
mm-hmm.
the
I agree with that.
So, yeah, every talk show, that's all they talk about, and even Fox News, they're guilty of it. They have this big, broad label on the bottom of most of the shows, coronavirus pandemic, big letters, you know, across every show, and but I think that the left, and I've mentioned this before, is hoping to use this against President Trump so he won't be reelected, but his poll numbers are rising.
Yeah, I saw that he was at a 60% approval rate for his handling of this,
yes.
this crisis.
Amen, hallelujah. So this evening, I would like to focus on the idea of what can we do to cast out fear, and I really like 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear.
Mm-hmm.
And also 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So then you want to get to the definition of love, and it's not the romantic, you know, Hollywood type love. So you go to 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm.
Love suffereth long. I'm sort of paraphrasing and like making it much shorter than it is. It is not easily provoked. It is kind. Thinketh no evil. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. So can you think just how we can apply love to cast out fear? I mean, I know we're supposed to apply what's in 1 Corinthians 13. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. And I point out there in 1 Corinthians 13, Nancy, and I know you know this, but for our listeners, when it's talking about love there, it uses the word charity, in the King James Version. And there's a reason that it uses the word charity. And I think this ties in with your point as to what we can use to cast out fear and all that, because some people love themselves very well. But they don't love others as well as they love themselves. And, you know, remember Jesus when he was talking about the greatest, he was asked what the greatest commandment was. And remember the first one was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And, you know, so we should love God first and foremost. That's where they have that little thing that says the secret of happiness or success or whatever, or the secret of joy. I'm sorry, the secret of joy is J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, in that, you know, putting our loving God more than anything, even our own lives, is number one. And then he said the second commandment was like the first. He said it was to love your neighbor as yourself. And that encapsulates the Ten Commandments, because the first table of the Ten Commandments was our relationship with God, the second table, our relationship with each other, and then ourselves. And when you look at that little word charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when you think about it, we tend to think of charity today as, well, you're giving a handout to somebody, you're giving them some money, like welfare payments is charity.
Yeah.
But the reality is, this is a type of love that loves others so much that when you see their need, you want to help that need. And it what it's talking about is an outward focus to where we're looking to the needs of others. And oftentimes, I think that that's something, when we concentrate on our own situation too much, it's easy to get overwhelmed. But when we start to look out to those around us and we start to have a care and a compassion, a love for them, and we see what's happening to those around us and we stop looking at ourselves constantly and we start looking around and we start seeing the needs of others, and then we start thinking, how can I meet those needs? How can I pray for those people? And then we start looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, how can I help these? The focus tends to come off ourselves. It's like when you get a paper cut and you don't hardly know that it's there, and then when you notice it, all of a sudden it hurts, doesn't it? Because you're focused on that little thing, but then something happens, you got a paper cut, you're focused on it, and then all of a sudden, you know, your child screams, you know, because something happened. You don't know what happened, but your focus goes away from your paper cut pretty quick, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And I think when we start looking to those around us and we develop, we look at this idea of charity, the type of love that cares for others and wants to meet their needs, and we start looking out from ourselves and our own needs and more concerned with others, I think it brings us more in tune with the way God wants us to live, not selfishly, but live for others. And we stop worrying so much about ourselves, and we start thinking more about what does God want me to do? And I think it does kind of get our mind off from these things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent. You know, and I just want to commend you for keeping your church open, and our church has been open also, but it's really sort of interesting the comments I get on Facebook, because I'll put little postings about our church service, and they say, don't you know that, you know, we're only looking at our services online as if I should be doing this also. And I just explained to them that, you know, we're a small church. We can social distance equally, you know, very well, and I'm sure you're in the same situation. So this having only online services, it doesn't have to apply to everybody. And then
right.
I read the Governor DeWine's list of essential services that are going to remain open.
And churches are there.
Services were mentioned that they can stay open.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, it's so funny. People are so fearful about having a church service.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking that, our church is strange. Or we're being, careless. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Well, no, and I really believe it ought to be done on a church-by-church basis. There's some areas,
absolutely,
perhaps, where churches should be closed and just go online. But some areas, it's like Pastor Lutz and I were talking on the radio last Friday. He's in Lakewood, 50,000 people in about a 5-square-mile area. I'm in Richfield. We have the village and township together, less than 6,000 people in about a 25-square-mile area. That's a world of difference in terms of how people are concentrated. Yeah. And then, of course, Cleveland Baptist Church, a different situation entirely. Brother Maletti goes to Cleveland Baptist Church, and we were talking about that. I believe churches need to be responsible. I don't want to be the guy that, got a church right across from the street from the ocean when a hurricane's coming in, and they say, mandatory evacuation. There's a storm surge coming 20 to 30 feet. You need to get out and stand in the doorway shaking my fist saying, nobody's going to tell me when I have to cancel my services. Nobody's going to force me to close the doors. That would just be plain stupid. But at the same time, we don't always have to. And when the governor of Virginia, I think it is, and the governor of Colorado say no churches can meet, but they let Planned Parenthood operate their services. Something's seriously wrong there. Hey, Nancy, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for the call. Stay healthy. And thank you again. We've got another half hour to go, so don't go away.
Thank you. Okay.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we're going to get to our callers. Another caller waiting patiently. We'll get to in just a moment. Just a reminder, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. If you were listening in the last half hour, I was talking with Nancy, and we were talking about churches being open. And yes, we at the moment are open. We're a very small church. We live in an area that's not real densely populated, and so we're able to maintain some distance. We're certainly not going up and shaking hands with everybody around. It's kind of humorous. I was in just finished preaching through 1 Thessalonians and finished up chapter 5 today, and we had some fun with the verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 26, where it says, "Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss." I said, we're going to forego that for the time being, I think. We'll just put a pass on the holy kiss for now. But at any rate, you can follow us online at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And additionally, we're online. Our webpage is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I do want to recommend that you check that out and look at our programs from Friday. We're on every Friday in addition to Sunday nights, 11 to 12. We're on Fridays from 1:30 till 2 in the afternoon. But on Friday, March the 20th, we had a special program with Jim Simpson talking about the Chinese coronavirus. We call it the Chinese coronavirus precisely because of the Chinese connection and origin of this virus. It is not a xenophobic or racist term. In fact, CNN and many of the people who are calling it xenophobic and racist used this term initially, and it wasn't until the Chinese propaganda machine kicked into full gear that the people who were using that term before started saying that those who still use it today are being racist and xenophobic. It's no more xenophobic than saying Ebola when Ebola refers to the Ebola River Valley in Africa. It's no more xenophobic or racist than saying thing that we get from the deer. The tip of my tongue now, the tick fever there. Just drawing a blank here this evening. But West Nile virus is because it came from the West Nile area in Egypt and so on and so forth. There's plenty of viruses out there that are named by where their Lyme disease. That's what I was trying to think of earlier. It's late. It's been a long day. Lyme disease, named after Lyme, Connecticut. It's not being racist or xenophobic towards Lyme, Connecticut, to call it Lyme disease. It's just a descriptive term. Chinese propaganda machine kicked in high gear, some are things that I've been reading about that. I'm not going to go there right now, but listen to that program on March the 20th, and then March the 27th, Pastor John Lutz, as I said earlier, and I combined our programs running from 1 o'clock with his program, Where is God's Word, to our program at 1:30, live with Pastor Al. We went for a whole hour that way, 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock, talking about churches and Christian response to the Chinese coronavirus virus. And I hope you'll listen to them. I think we had some good information and some practical pointers on those things as well. Well, we don't have to talk about that entirely today, but if you want to talk about that, we certainly will. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. We've got Terry who's waiting on the line. And Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor.
Hey, Terry, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. The Lord's good.
Amen. So
I've been reading. Actually, the one word that you were talking to Nancy, one word came to me was self-indulgence.
Self-indulgence, you said?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
When people think of themselves, and
yeah,
not others. And that's what came to me, self-indulgence. But anyway, yeah, I've been studying David quite a bit, and quite the guy. One thing that came to me is chapter 3 of Psalms. Like I came to this conclusion that we can't really understand Psalms if we haven't studied Samuel about David and his life.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of it talks about what happened in David's life is what's talked about in Psalms.
Yeah, a lot of the Psalms are inspired by things that happened in David's life. You're absolutely right.
Right. And, his mistake that he made with Bathsheba and, all kinds of things that happened. I'm in the story right now about Absalom.
Mm-hmm.
Absalom, his son, and he turned against him and how he turned against David. And I believe that he was kind of antichrist in a sense because he turned Israel against David.
Right.
And it ended up costing Israel in the end because of it.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up costing Absalom's life too.
And yet we learn from these, don't we? Because God inspired through His Spirit David to record these words, and then of course they were preserved for us in what's called the Book of Psalms.
That's why every word that proceeds, mm-hmm. we should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And one thing that came to me is Psalms chapter 3. I really, that's talking about, Absalom, all these enemies that came against David.
Mm-hmm.
And that. He says, and there's one that comes to me, and this is about fear, too, about what's going on right now with fear and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the coronavirus. We can look at it this way, too. It says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 3.
Verse 6 there, yeah.
And that's encouraging words, too. Like, we have to trust the Lord in the times of trouble.
Mm-hmm. And you read verse 6 there. Verse 5 before it is also encouraging when you think about it, because he says, I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. And a lot of times when people are overcome with fear and anxiety, they have difficulty sleeping, don't they?
That's, yeah. And if we put our trust in the Lord, our sleep will be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, we're kind of working backward through the psalm, because then verse 4 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. And then that's where he says then that he laid down and slept, and God sustained him. And then following that, when he says he's not going to be afraid. And when we look to the Lord, it's the cure for a lot of the fear.
And at the end there, where it says salvation belongs unto the Lord,
mm-hmm.
blessings is upon thy people. That trust in him.
Yes, and ultimately that's what we have to do. I mean, we cannot change certain things that are happening in the world around us, but we can change how we deal with them and how we react to them. And if we put our faith first and foremost in the Lord, it's going to go a long way towards helping us to deal with these things in a way that'll not only be glorifying and honoring to the Lord, but also hopefully encouraging to those around us. Hey, Terry, I've got two more callers calling in yet, and we're kind of going to run out of time here, I think. But this is a good point. I'm glad you brought this psalm up, and we need to realize that, don't we?
We sure do.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You stay safe, stay healthy, and I'm sure we'll talk again. God bless.
God bless.
And we've got Jim from calling in tonight. Jim, welcome to the program this evening. Hello, Jim. I think you've got your radio on in the background, perhaps. Is that what it sounds like?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? There you are.
How are you?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
No, I had to put you back on the phone. It went off. Hold on a minute.
Okay. We'll get you in a second here, I think. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to get Jim here in just a moment. Back there?
Pastor Al.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I am doing well.
Yeah, so the thing is we're a lot of people are in fear of this coronavirus, and if we go by the word, we gotta forget about, you know, what's going on. I mean, not forget about it, but we gotta put our trust in the Lord.
Right, right. Put things in perspective.
Exactly. And then if you put things in perspective, you're looking at trust in the Lord. It's like, this is not surprising him what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, it's like when Jesus and the disciples in the boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted them to come to him, right?
Yeah. You're talking about when the storm arose on the water, right?
Exactly.
And they were worried. He was actually sleeping in the boat, and they said, don't you care? We're about to perish.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And it's like now you see the world, you know, the world is, like, panicking right now. They're worried about their money. They're worried about, you know, dying. And it's like, what were they doing before all this happened? Well, I'm talking about in general. There's a panic right now going on, and I guess the Christian people too are panicking too, I would say.
Some are, and they should be looking more to the Lord. This is an opportunity where Christians ought to be representing and showing the love of Christ and trying to help people.
Praise God. Yes. Yep. And I'm just hearing what's going on, and it's like God's telling me, stick to your word, you know, stick to the word.
Right.
You know, it's like you said, you can't control what's around you, but we know one thing, what? God's word is not changing, is it?
No.
And it does apply to today too. It's not just the God of yesterday. Like people think, like I heard, you know, I'm not going to name the person, but it's like I heard that the person said, now I think the person's changing, you know, on it, but her idea of God was like, you know, this is a new, you know, that was, you know, back then. And my thing is, we got to live that Bible out. That's why we got to get in that word, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we need to get in the word, and we will find comfort in God's word. And we do know that the Bible says as we get closer to the time that he catches the believers out of the world prior to the tribulation, that like the travails of a woman, he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, things are going to get worse and worse and more intense, more and more frequent. And we're talking about disease, we're talking about pestilence, we're talking about drought, we're talking about famines, we're talking about all kinds of things. And these are foreshadows of the judgments that are going to come on the earth during the tribulation period. At the same time, when Paul's telling them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and chapter 5, he doesn't want them to be dismayed. He wants them to be comforted through God's word. So
right, and doesn't God's word say all things will work out to good for those who love him?
Well, exactly. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And yet he gives us free will. And, you know, when some of these things are happening, part of it is to get people to come back to him. He allowed a lot of things to happen to the Jewish people in the Old Testament when they turned away from him and forgot him.
Yeah.
He let enemies arise and get their attention to bring them back. And I think the same thing's happening now.
You know, and I agree, because what I'm seeing right now, it's like either you're going to have faith or you're going to have fear. And what I'm seeing is God's protecting us right now through this virus too. He's protecting. Now, you know, I look online and everything. Crime has went down since this.
Some have, but some other things are going up. Unfortunately, suicides are on the increase, I've heard. It's going to be a little bit of each. Probably alcoholism, at least public intoxication and drunk driving's down because the bars are closed. People are still drinking at home, though, I'm sure. But we need to be in prayer, don't we, Jim, for ourselves, for our communities, our families, and our nation. And, hey, Jim, I got another caller, and I only got a few minutes left.
All right, thanks for taking my call.
But I want to thank you for calling.
We need to cling to Jesus, Pastor.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks so much. God bless and stay safe. Thank you so much. And we've got Tom calling in tonight. Tom, welcome to the program.
Oh, how you doing?
I am doing well. How about yourself? How are you and your family?
We're blessed and we're fine and we're not worried and we're going about life here at our homestead and getting out just for the essentials and we're doing good. And this is an excellent time for believers to get closer to God.
Oh, absolutely. And, in some situations, people have time on their hands that they didn't have before. I saw a thing online where somebody where it said something to the effect of, okay, I've taken away your restaurants, your theaters, your ball games, and it went through several things. And it says, have I got your attention now? Yeah. God. God.
I see God's footprint all over this, and we're going to come out of this. We're going to come out of it together. But like every other major crisis that's hit this world, if you look at history all the way back to about 1914, when really things began changing in the world with Israel and the progressive movements and the socialism and communism. Every time we lose something, we never go back completely. So I think we're getting entrenched much deeper towards the return of Christ, and I see this as, I might be wrong, but I see this as God calling the church out to a closer walk with Him and calling people unto repentance and calling lost sinners that they better get saved, because I think the Lord's return is drawing ever nearer, and I think that we should heed the warnings. And even Christians, it's time to, get one foot out of the world and get both feet planted in the kingdom. So that's what I have to say tonight.
I agree with you, Tom. And again, that's what I was alluding to, too, when I was talking about Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because after talking about when the believers are going to be caught up out of the world, that's the event that we call the rapture. I've heard people say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, no, it's not. But the phrase caught up is very clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Absolutely.
And he talks about that in verse number 17, where he says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up."
People try to look for the rapture in Matthew 24 and 25, but I don't think you see it there, because I don't think the disciples would have understood it at that point.
No, it's not. And that's a whole other thing. Don't have time to get over to that right now, but I was going to say this word caught up in the Latin became, I believe, something along the lines of rapiro, which is where we get the word rapid from, but we also get the word rapture or enraptured. People get caught up in listening to some great piece of music, and we say they're enraptured.
Word, yeah, that word does come out, from my understanding, out of the old the Latin translation.
Yeah, so that's where we get the word rapture. So you could use the word rapture. You could use you could say caught up. It's the same thing, and it's coming from chapter and verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. I don't know why people don't see that sometimes, this is why I bring it up. He says right there, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And then immediately after saying that, he says, I want to give you an idea of when it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, that's our blessed hope.
Yeah, from Titus, it was 2:13, I think it is. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in starting verse 1 and then going into verse 2, he starts in verse 3, he tells us, what to expect before this catching away, this the believers are caught up. And right. he talks about the travails of a woman. And, right. and we're seeing that, I believe, right now.
Right. He talked about the perilous times. So, in
yes.
the end, praise the Lord, this is a time for Christians not mm-hmm. to be moping around and be doubting and fearing. This mm-hmm. is a time for us to be praising.
Oh, yeah.
Letting our light shine and mm-hmm. being installed out in that world and telling people what our hope is.
Mm-hmm. Because we have that blessed hope that we are going to be caught up to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And you know what? After saying again that we should know we're in the times because of the travail and the perilous times and all that, again, he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We're supposed to take comfort in God's word and then comfort each other, aren't we?
That's right, and I'm not going to be here tribulating.
That's a good way to put it. You're absolutely right, Tom.
And, okay, God bless, and have a great week. I'll be talking to you.
Well, God bless. Stay safe, and we will talk again, I'm sure. And thank you for your call tonight. I appreciate that. And yeah, these are things that we need absolutely to be able to remember is that we're in God's hands, and God does have a plan and a purpose for us. He wants us to glorify Him in all that we do. I was reading not too long ago that during the medieval ages, during some of the various plagues, Black Plague and different plagues that ravaged Europe, it was Christians that came in to minister to the dying. It was Christians that came in to bring relief to those who were cut off. When others fled in fear, it was Christians who came in. And that goes back to what I was talking about in the first half hour of the program when I was talking with our caller Nancy about the word charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Christians who moved with a love for their fellow man despite the danger to themselves. They were more concerned with the suffering of others, and they were willing to go into places that nobody else would. And we see that evidenced in the world in certain areas today. And I'm not saying it's exclusively Christians that show charity, that show love, that's concerned with the needs of others. You can think of different groups where people go in and where they're concerned and they want to help their fellow man. But if a secular group such as, well, just thinking, first one that comes to my mind is Doctors Without Borders. They see the need that people have in a certain area, and they'll go into dangerous areas because they're concerned with the plight of their fellow man. And if the world can do that, if unsaved people can do that, then how much more should Christians be willing to do that? You think of Christian missionaries who opened up fields around the world in dangerous areas, and sometimes many of them died. The blood of the martyrs that soaked the ground in so many areas in order for Christianity to get a foothold. And then as the gospel seed began to take root, then some of those areas that once were hostile to the Word of God became welcoming to the gospel. And we see this happening. And so when we see diseases, when we see natural disasters, we as Christians of all people should be praying and trying to do what we can to help out. But in the meanwhile, do pray not only for your fellow believers, but pray for those out there. Pray for those on the front lines. You know, we think of the nurses and the doctors and not just them, but the aides and the people who work in these nursing homes and the hospitals and all that have to take care of the cleaning, the housekeeping people. These people need our prayers. They're on the front lines today. And pray that God would give wisdom to our elected official. Pray that He gives wisdom to pastors to know what they should do with their churches. It's just so much. We need to be in prayer. America needs to be on their knees. I would hope that this does bring America to their knees in prayer. Thanks for listening. God bless. Stay safe.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.